16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the planet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? Turns out, that story was way bigger than just an optical illusion. It's a cautionary tale about the decline of clickbait sites, the rise of algorithms and internet polarization, and the end of fun on the internet. Seriously, and that's just one story. We're giving every character their 16th minute. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
My guest tonight is a Shark Tank investor and a venture capitalist. Please welcome Kevin O'Leary.
There we go.
Nice to see you.
You too.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I want to say this first and foremost. I always give people their flowers. So I want to say, me and my dad love you on Shark Tank.
Appreciate that.
Yes. Shark Tank is one of those shows a family can sit down, we can watch it together, we can cosplay as entrepreneurs and vicariously live through a fun piece of unscripted, semi-reality content. So thank you for giving us that.
Thank
and it's 14
you.
Seasons, right?
14.
Okay.
But the truth is, we don't script anything because we see them the same time you do. We had no idea it would blow up this way. I mean,
right.
It's a remarkable platform.
Yes.
And it supports American entrepreneurship. What's wrong with that?
It's amazing. Now, you have been making your rounds. We were speaking backstage. Just to give everyone context, obviously we're talking about crypto, FTX. You've been making the rounds, testifying before Congress, going on Squawk Box 78 times. And everybody's asking you about, you know, your endorsement of FTX, the $15 million bag. But nobody's asking you, how you doing? How you feeling?
Well, let's just get the numbers right. It was $18 million.
18.
Okay? And it's all gone, and I get it. But you've got to understand something about venture investing. FTX was nothing but a startup, okay?
Right.
Basically 18 months old. That's it. And in venture...
Wait, but can you take me through the relationship timeline of you and... electrocuted.
How long did you got?
We can run it. I told you. I was like, let's do it.
So, because
just for context, at first, you've been on Squawk Box, you've been on programs, yeah. And you're like, Bitcoin is dog shit. This is awful.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. I think I did say that. Because at that time, the regulator was very, very negative.
Yes.
And then countries like Canada, Switzerland, United Emirates, France,
it, right.
England, Australia,
yep.
They opened up.
Yep.
And if you're an investor like me, I invest internationally, I started to allocate to it.
Right. And then you start thinking, you go, look, you know, SPF, it's starting to open up internationally. It's becoming more regulated in Switzerland and other countries. And so, you know, clearly this guy who's running this Bahamian orgy is running a responsible operation.
So
how did he get in your DMs? How did he penetrate that heart?
So obviously at a time in 2021 when FTX was out financing, doing rounds at a $23 billion valuation,
mm-hmm.
That was the hottest deal on the street. If you look at the people that invested in that, it's the
right.
Who's who of venture capital.
Dude, I was pissed that I wasn't asked.
Yeah.
When I look at that role, and it's like Shaquille O'Neal,
right.
Like Steph Curry, Tom Brady.
Well,
that's how you know I haven't made it.
Well,
let me in, baby. Let me get that call. All already, my agent called me.
Maybe you're lucky you didn't get that call.
Okay.
Think of it that way.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, when you invest in any startup, and this includes FTX and plenty of others, 8 out of 10 times you lose your money. Since 1954, when they started compiling these stats. Now, sometimes it's alleged fraud, sometimes bad execution, sometimes bad market, sometimes bad product. But for whatever reason, 8 out of 10 times you lose money. Right. So the people that invested in FTX, if you, people are asking me, well, isn't this going to change investing forever? No, nothing's going to change.
Sure.
Because we're gunning for that 2 times where we make 1,000x on our money.
Right.
The next morning after I lost that $18 million, yes, I was pissed. Mm. Okay? But it didn't change anything about what I do as an investor. I get right up and I go at it again because I have, if every time I had a loser investment, I had to go to Congress, I'd need an apartment there.
Right.
I mean, we lose a lot of deals, but every once in a while I get a monster hit and it pays for all the mistakes. FTX is in the past for me. Too bad. I feel sick about it. We all look like idiots.
Right.
But we got to move on. We have to fund the next venture. We have to fund the next entrepreneur.
But how did he penetrate? You didn't answer the question. How did he get? I got the 5 talking points, but how did he just? How did he slide in the DMs? How did he slide in the DMs? I know you're recording this. It's all good. How did he slide in the DMs of your heart? That, come on.
So the way.
Because I've gotten the call.
Remember,
I've gotten the call.
I'm at 2 places on this.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a paid spokesperson. Yes.
Yes.
But I was also an investor. I took millions of dollars and invested them in FTX International and US.
Right.
So I'm getting squeezed on both sides on this point. At the end of the day, the way I look at it is, okay, I have an agent. He gets contacted and says, look, do you want to be a paid spokesperson for this? I said, I'm interested in crypto. What do we know about this company?
Yeah.
We know that it's got the biggest investor list I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. But then you reply all to, like, Kevin O'Leary, all agents at CAA.com, and you go, I've said that this is dog shit, reply, and then you send.
No, I didn't
say
that.
And then they go, Kevin, comma, enter.
That's not how it goes down. The way this works is you go back and say, okay, $1.8 billion raised. Who's in the raise?
Yeah, yeah.
Who did the due diligence? Plenty of them did.
And it's the heavy hitters.
Huge hitters.
Hitters.
But we all know each other. We're in the private equity business. And I said, okay, somebody dillied this thing,
Mm-hmm.
And the parents were compliance lawyers out of Stanford. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's a very unfortunate outcome. And everybody looks stupid.
Because you do your due diligence. I've seen you. You are a savage.
I do.
Have you seen him when he is on Shark Tank? If someone doesn't come correct with the due diligence, you suplex them through tables. Play it. It's crazy. Check this out.
I've looked at the valuation and I say, are you guys out of your friggin' minds? What stops somebody who actually knows how to make shirts and deliver them do this and make a lot of money and crush you like the cockroach that you are?
This is a very bad idea. It howls at the moon and you should take it out behind the barn and shoot it. Look, I get the passion piece, but you know what I'd be crying about? The fact you're not making a profit.
If you were in one of my business school classes, I would spray you down with water, and every time you say I don't know, I'd hit you with an electric cattle prod.
Oh my God. Now listen. Don't boo. No, don't boo. Don't boo. Don't boo. Don't boo. Don't do that. Kevin, no, I'm serious. Kevin O'Leary came on the show, and he was man enough to come on the show, and we're having a conversation, and we spoke backstage, and we were polite to one another, and we're going to be polite. So we're not going to do that booing stuff.
Well,
in that,
so
no,
much.
I mean that sincerely.
But believe me.
But wait.
I can take it.
I know. No. Listen. This is about doing the due diligence. That's what spraying that person down and buzzing them with the cattle prod. So, obviously SBF and FTX, your boy, has lost $8 billion of investor funds, and clearly, from the reports, no one did their due diligence. So I'm asking you, on behalf of The Daily Show, will you fly to Palo Alto, where he's on house arrest, and spray this down and hit him with a cattle prod? Enough of the 40 appearances. Enough of the 4-minute segments on Squawk Box. Let's take a Southwest flight tonight. Layover in Chicago. It's on me. We land SFO, my dad will pick us up, and we will go to SBS. You know,
I think that's a little extreme.
Okay.
Just a little. I mean, look, at the end of the day, think about this.
At the end of the day, a lot of people lost money. Retail got fleeced. That's what happened at the end of the day.
Okay, did Lehman Brothers change anything? No. Enron? No. Bear Stearns? No. Long-term capital? No. There's always going to be the bad actors.
Sure.
This is capitalism, and every once in a while, there's a bad actor. You just went through a whole, you know, litany of them.
Right.
And the system self-corrects. If you do bad things, shit happens to you. Bad shit. And I think that's okay. That's our system. The whole idea is you can make money without being a fraudster. This is a great country. You can be an entrepreneur. You can start a company with a great product and become a multimillionaire. That's the path that people take 99% of the time. And we should celebrate that.
Okay.
This comes along, you know, alleged fraud like this, it's going to go through the system. Hopefully, we're going to get a huge recovery for everybody that lost their money. Already, the rumors are we're at 6 out of 8 billion. They found that, 6.1 billion. Who knows what else will be coming? I want to help everybody on this situation, but I've moved on, and so has everybody else.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
I have a theory. So, in corporate America, I see a lot of urban professional elites with LinkedIn accounts here in the crowd tonight. In corporate America, they have a thing called CYA, cover your ass. And I think, Mr. O'Leary, you're making the 70 appearances right now and testifying before Congress to let people know, hey, HR, something f***ed up happened. Someone burned down the house while mom and dad left. But you kind of were a part of the arson to begin with.
Well, let me correct you on that for a moment, okay?
Okay.
During the period when everybody was trying to get allocation to FTX, particularly FTX US, hottest deal on the street in 2021, I got countless calls from people saying, let me in on your allocation, you owe me, we've done business together. I said, guys, it's a startup. It's a big one, it's a $23 billion startup, but it's a startup. If I'm gonna take this ride, I'll do it with my own dough. I'm not gonna put anybody else's money into it.
Okay.
Nobody lost money on that deal in terms of investing on it except me.
Okay.
So I don't have the problem where I owe somebody, you know, an apology for investing beside me. I owe everybody and all of us involved owe an apology for not knowing it was an alleged fraud. But, you know, this happens from time to time. But in my mind, I can go to sleep every night knowing that it was my money. I lost it. I ate it. Shame on me. But doesn't change what I do in the morning. I'm a very fortunate guy. I can take huge hits, and I move on, and I keep going. That is the essence of entrepreneurship.
Totally.
You're going to get kicked to the ground once in a while.
Sure.
And this was a big kick in the where it hurts.
Right.
As somebody said to me, the one I remember the most, you know, the economist on CNBC said to me, we came out of the green room after I'd had one of those countless, you know, presentations on there about it.
Right.
And he said, Kevin, $18 million. That's a lot of guitars. And he's right.
Yeah, you love guitars. He loves guitars. Just for, he's telling a story that's not great because you have to set up the premise for the punchline. This is my comedy Shark Tank.
I love the story.
16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the internet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? But there's way more to this story than that. The dress went viral in early 2015, marking one of the last months that the internet could still be fun. It was just before Trump declared his candidacy for president and polarized an already polarized internet. It was just shy of people deciding what went viral instead of algorithms. And it was just shy of celebrities realizing that they should never, ever tweet. It's more than a character of the day. It's an entire moment in time bottled in a little, well, either blue and black or white and gold package. I'm not relitigating it again. You cannot make me. And that's just one story. We've got a million. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, listen, here's what has to happen. You have to be able to expose your position. When you say you lost money, the only way for us to truly know is if a forensic accountant comes in.
You want the full transparency. Everybody, you don't understand. Everybody has.
So you got the 18 mil. Look, me and you, we're in Hollywood, not these regular normies. So let's have the big boy talk. I want to have the talk. So out of the 18 mil, let me get him in on it. So out of the 18 mil, you guys don't know this. There's agents, managers, business managers.
And the IRS.
All of them, FICA. FICA. They FICA you all day.
I did not say that.
But out of that 18 mil, my man probably saw, let's go 6 to 7. Now, that's just straight cash. But we don't know. Some of it could be USD. Some of it could be some of that sweet, sweet equity position. But we won't know until a forensic accountant comes in.
And we want that.
I have a hunch.
Yeah.
I think you didn't lose a whole lot of the shirt off your back, but retail did.
All of my money on the comp, just so you understand this, by the contract was in an FTX account. So 18 comes in, as you correct, about half of it pays taxes and agents and the unions and all that stuff. Sure. The rest goes into the account. And on Saturday morning, November 10th, it was scraped out along with all the trading records. Everybody there, including me, does not know where that money is, or do they have the trading records? Do I want to hire a forensic accountant? Absolutely. I've disclosed I had 32 positions. It wasn't cash, it was crypto and all kinds of coins and tokens. And so they're all gone, and I'd like to find out where they are. So would another million people.
But it was also house money. That's the key difference.
How do you say that?
You're playing off of cake. What's coming to you? Hey, we're giving you a big head start.
The million cash I put into the equity.
Sure.
That's not a million cash?
That's a million cash. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Okay, so you've lost 1 million USD. You've lost 1 million USD personal.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually more. It was, I think, 1.25 million.
Okay, so the only way we can truly...
But
you're making that heuristic. You're making that heuristic based off of that 6.6 to 7 million coming in. Look, we're going to do math all day.
I get paid for a lot of things.
The only way we can really come to the conclusion of this is if we do the old rule when you're sexting a partner. I'll show you yours if you show me. That's the only way. We don't need to dance around it. It's fine.
My whole deal is, I've been totally transparent with it. The reason I've gone on and talked about it openly is I think we can all learn a lesson from this. And I'm teaching this case at Harvard, actually. I think there's a lot to learn from it because it's a great example of when you do portfolio work, when you put big money to work, you've got to know you're never safe. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And this case is crazy. We haven't even seen the end of this yet. We don't know what's going to happen. The records are supposedly backed up on the Amazon servers, and no one's seen them yet. I don't know where that money went. I'd like to find out. And that's the same question every institution has. I'm one of the only institutions walking around talking about it. But so what? It's a horrible outcome. It's a bad investment. I've made bad ones in the past. I'm going to make bad ones in the future. But I'm pretty good at good ones as well. So that's the way it works.
I hear you. And I think there's a detail that you need to add to your Harvard class, which is, and all the other
Maybe
places
I
that you
should
go.
Bring you with me.
Sure. I'll pull up.
I mean,
if Kim Kardashian can pull up, I'll pull up. Now listen, wait, Kevin, let me just finish. Let me finish. I will pull up. I will sincerely pull
up. Why not?
Okay. Here's the thing. When you go on The Daily Show right now, or when you go on our friend Aaron Ross Sorkin's show, right?
Yeah.
When you say 80% of these companies fail, is correct. And let's say it's even more. Let's say it's 90%.
No, it isn't. It's 80.
Yeah.
The stats have been around since 1954.
But what you're not accounting for is you're speaking to the upper 1% that can lose that money. Everybody else that's listening should probably just put their money in ETF, set it aside, go to sleep, wake up 30 years later. But you're not disclosing that. You're not disclosing, once again, your position, how much you've been personally paid up front.
I did. I told exactly what
No, not about FTX, just in general, with the myriad of companies that you're
promoting. Oh, I see.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Guess what? I'm a capitalist. I'm an investor. That's what I do. I'm ashamed of it. I love to do what I do. I help all kinds of entrepreneurs, and I'm proud of that. We don't make money all the time is the point I'm trying to make. When you invest, you take risks. And that's why you need diversity. You need a lot of stocks. ETF's a good idea. It has a lot of stocks. Whatever. At the end of the day,
but it's not a whatever. That position, doing that, putting your money in an SPY, S&P 500 for 30 years, is going to benefit 95% of the population. And the key problem is people turn to you, people like Kevin O'Leary, Mark Cuban, because they see you very differently than, say, Larry David.
But we take different...
Or Shaquille O'Neal, or all the other people that were in the FTX commercial.
Well,
Mr. Wonderful says this is a good position. In reality, every time you go on Squawk Box, or any of your many... Let me just finish. I'll let you... We have all the time in the world.
I don't promote crypto positions. I talk about platforms and diversity. I didn't do commercials, and I never would, because I don't advocate single products.
You don't do commercials. I mean, you're on every third commercial during the commercial breaks of Shark Tank.
You know, I'm talking. You're talking about FTX, though, right? You're talking about FTX.
I'm not talking about FTX. I'm saying in general.
Oh,
yeah.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes.
I guess my answer is,
if you go to your YouTube channel, just on your YouTube channel, the fourth or fifth video on your YouTube channel is this the bottom of the market? Do you know what that's signaling to retail investors? It's signaling them to either pop in or pop out. When in reality, you should just go, hey, real talk. You should have one class at Harvard. It should be 10 minutes. Listen to me right now. Listen to me. Put your money in Vanguard portfolio, VTSAX, or S&P 500. Maybe do a bond position right now because it's giving you 4%. Set it aside and turn off Squawk Box. Actually, don't even listen to what I have to say.
You're being tough on Squawk Box. They do a service. People are interested. Listen, I understand indexing. That's great. I do that too. But if you want extraordinary returns, you got to take risks on entrepreneurs. You have to back people that don't know their outcomes.
Right, so then your podcast and TV show should be just...
If you had a chance to invest in Google when its valuation was $5 million, do you wish you did that?
Sure. Yes. But hindsight is 2020 always, and you will lose that way.
Why would you lose that way?
You can lose 95% of the time that way, trying to pick stocks.
So?
Kevin, you know this. Even the great Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, the goats of capitalism, even they say, now, these geriatric coffin dodgers, now, at their shareholders meeting, go, listen to me, if I could do it all over again,
No.
I would just put it in an index
fund and
tuck it away. And we'll play the clip, Kevin, it's on YouTube. Listen, let's not do this.
16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the internet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? But there's way more to this story than that. The dress went viral in early 2015, marking one of the last months that the internet could still be fun. It was just before Trump declared his candidacy for president and polarized an already polarized internet. It was just shy of people deciding what went viral instead of algorithms. And it was just shy of celebrities realizing that they should never, ever tweet. It's more than a character of the day. It's an entire moment in time bottled in a little, well, either blue and black or white and gold package. I'm not relitigating it again. You cannot make it. And that's just one story. We've got a million. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I ask you just a question? We can do back and forth. I just want to ask you this, because I mean this sincerely. I've been trying to crack this. Are you a great investor or are you a great spokesperson? Because I think you're the latter.
Okay, I don't agree with you. Let me tell you what's happened over the last 10 years. The ability to tell a company's story to get people to understand what their mission is and the benefit of their product is highly valuable. Very. Because there's a million stories out there, and the biggest problem every company has, including giant S&P companies, is how do they get customer acquisition? How do they acquire customers? 8 out of 10 companies fail in America after 36 months because they're never able to get their customer acquisition costs below the lifetime value.
Right.
That's where I change the equation. If I invest in your company, I tell your story. That's what my job is to do. Yes, I take risk. I'm fortunate to have money to invest, but I get behind it and tell the story. And that's what we do on Shark Tank. Why are Shark Tank companies so successful? Why do so many more of them make money than the traditional 8 out of 10? Because we tell their story to 100 million people every year. That's the magic sauce. So I think I'm a great investor by being able to be a great storyteller, too. People need to know what the product does, what the merits of it are. That's why they try it. That's why it's important to tell these stories. You talk to any shark.
Do you feel guilty? I hear what you're saying. So tell me, you know, because I go to couples therapy. Let me tell you what I'm hearing.
Okay.
And I mean this sincerely.
Yeah.
Tell me if what I'm telling you is right or wrong. What I hear you're saying is, no, Hassan, I disagree with you. I think I am a great investor and a great spokesperson. That you do both. That if I see something, a seed of a good idea in your company, I'm great at communication. I'm good at the micro content.
Both are true.
I can communicate those things. Okay. So then you have, I would imagine you would feel some level of guilt when some of the companies that you are promoting end up leaving retail investors holding the bag, where you're like, damn,
no.
I promoted this.
This is where I disagree with you. Here's why. You know with certainty in venture investing, investing in startups, since the beginning of time, 8 out of 10 are going to fail. I know that, you know that, and the whole world knows that because those are the stats. There's nothing you can do to change
that. But the system of you going on these shows, Squawk Box is financial FOMO. The graphs, the ticker, but you're on, guys are swinging kettlebells in Greenwich. Do I got to get in now or later? You know this! Breaking news, get in now. DoorDash, IPO, do I get in now, later? Again, it's that FOMO, I got to get in now.
I think what you're
philosophically disagree,
that's messaging is,
sure.
And I would agree with you on this, and I think if you're going to promote the idea of investing, you should also promote the idea of diversity. Diversification.
Sure.
You can't put it all in any one position or any one institution. Because you don't know when there's going to be a next Lehman Brothers or a Bear Stearns or when a stock goes to zero.
Right.
By the way, big companies go to zero, too. They
sure.
do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so that
sure.
happens. So if you have diversification, and I learned this from my mother, never more than 20% in any one sector. We have 11 sectors in the American economy. Never more than 5% in any one stock. That is the definition of diversity. And that's what I do with my own portfolio. That's how you stay out of trouble.
Okay. You've obviously...
You would agree with that.
Sure, sure.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
Yeah. Wait a second. But when you are going on a six-minute segment, if you did this... If you pulled up on your next Squawk Box segment and said that, amazing.
I do say
but
that.
But you don't. You give
Well,
hot
you
picks.
Must be not, you're not watching the right segment.
I've seen you do 40 of them. You're putting up shots, my man, and some of them are just airballs. Now listen, if you are a great investor, let me ask you this,
a
great spokesman.
I'm proud of my track record.
Why are you on Cameo?
I love Cameo.
Are great
Cameo.
Investors on Cameo?
I
put
love
up the graphic.
Cameo.
Put up the graphic.
Cameo.
You can book a personalized video for $1,500.
Yep.
You can book a business video. I don't even know what
do
that
you know
is
why I
for
do $6,500. Do you understand why? Because this helps entrepreneurs launch their products and services. 99% of my Cameos is a business that can't afford to go to an agent and pay $500,000. This is fantastic. What they've done, my biggest mistake on Cameo was not to take down 20% of the stock when it was offered to me.
Okay.
I should have bought 20%.
Right,
I mean, it was really a fantastic idea.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm an advocate and I'm going to keep doing it. And people book them because it helps them. I'll do anything to help an entrepreneur. That's who I am.
Let me ask you a few sub-questions. First of all, Cameo is...
Oh, these haven't been tough questions?
No. Sub-questions.
Okay.
First of all, Cameo is absolute dog shit. It's a way for Rachel Dolezal to wish you happy birthday. I'm not joking. Number two, do you think big boy investors do Cameos? Do you think Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger tap dance for $6,500. Nassim Taleb is out here doing a business video.
They are not venture investors. They don't start up entrepreneurs.
Do you need the $1,500 or $6,500? Do you need any of it?
Listen, I spend plenty of dollars doing what I do, and I give to all kinds of philanthropic
enterprises. This is not about charity. I'm talking about the actual quality of that work.
I do that work because people tell me, and they have for years doing it, this has really helped me.
Okay.
I'm happy to do it. Read the comments. I mean, if you want to be a critic, go ahead, but read the comments.
I mean,
that's the real test.
The comment of a person asking for a $1,500 or $6,500.
People actually use them.
Okay, sure.
I don't do many $1,500 ones.
They're all the $6,500 ones?
Unfortunately, I'm a little... Because if you're a business and you want to use it, you got to pay the rights.
I feel very sorry for those people.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to charge you $1,200 for yours. I'm going to give you a discount.
Okay. Okay. I'm not going to do that.
I get it. It's hard to rattle me on things I know that work, you know?
I mean, the cameo thing is really bad, man. It's a truly bad look.
I don't agree.
It's for grifters, sociopaths, sycophants, and O.J. Simpson. I mean, like, there's the people that are on cameo.
You're a little negative on cameo.
Oh, okay. Do you guys like cameo? Oh, no, don't boo. I mean, I was just asking. Okay. Listen, this has been a...
I think you should say something nice about small business here.
Let's do the small business. So we spoke backstage. He wants to plug the small business thing. But can I just say this one thing, and we'll plug the small business thing?
Yeah.
We're going to do this whole. This is all going to be online, so it's all good.
Got it.
So I think the reason why I'm very passionate about this is because I think there is an ecosystem of a lot of VC people and people with money going on these shows, giving advice to retail. And look, I think entertainment is important, but when Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith give their hot takes, it doesn't potentially affect people's 401ks or their bank account. When you give financial tips, it's like a doctor giving a diagnosis to a patient they can't even see. You don't know the number of people that you're inadvertently hurting.
Let me tell you why I disagree with you.
Go ahead.
Do you think I should go?
Just don't. That's all I'm saying. Be careful when you f with people's bank accounts.
Ask everybody in the audience.
Sure.
Do you think I should go to high schools as I do and talk to them about financial literacy and about credit card debt and about stocks and bonds? Is that a good thing to
do? Totally. You should give them J.L. Collins' book, The Simple Path to Wealth, and one of the addendums should be, turn off any program that I'm on. Besides Shark Tank.
Okay, so I'm very proud to be on Shark Tank.
Shark Tank is awesome. Season 14, it's awesome.
I teach high schoolers and I teach graduate MIT engineers. Look, you are allowed to have an opinion, and I'm glad you do, and it's an important part of the dialogue and the discussion we're having here. But at the end of the day, the more people that understand the financial system in this country, the better this country is.
Okay.
Now, you may not agree on the message. That's okay. And that's the wonderful thing about this country. We can have this dialogue, and we don't have to agree. And I don't agree on half the stuff you're saying.
Okay.
But I respect the fact you have the opinion. That's good with me.
I appreciate you being respectful. Do you want to do the small business thing?
I'll do
my pitch, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, let's do it.
Go ahead. So you wanted to talk about small business. Let's talk about that, and then we'll do my pitch to you.
Let me tell you what we should be worried about in this country right now, and a new ambassadorship that I have. Okay. I know you like to be critical, but I want to hear you criticize this one, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready? So everybody remembers PPP.
Yeah.
All of our companies.
You were scamming too?
No, I mean,
if you're doing the cameos,
I didn't do it.
You get a lot more than $6,500
from the government. No, I didn't. That's fine. Anyway,
that is funny. You know, it's funny.
All of margin.
Because you could have gotten $30,000
off
that PPP.
You've done better jokes than that one. I'm going to give you a 4 out of 10. So, look, let's get to the point. Is the program was launched and all small companies used it. They went to their bank and got it. At the same time, another program was launched called the Employee Retention Credit. You've never heard of it, have you?
Have not.
Okay. Small business is really hurting now because rates have gone up so high on them. You know, people talk about 6% Fed rate. Small business is borrowing at 18% now.
Yeah.
They used to borrow at 9 or 7. So it's been hell for them for the last 2 years. The government has $250 billion sitting, waiting for them to pick it up on their payroll because they forgot to go get it. It's sitting there. If you have a small business between 5 and 500 people, you can make up to $26,000 as a gift from the government towards your business one time. So if you have 50 employees, that's $500,000. Right. If you have 100 employees, that's $1.1 million. I'm pounding the drum everywhere I can to tell every company in America that qualifies, because you only have 23 more months to get it, go file. Go file Great. For it.
Thank you for sharing that information.
Well,
thank you. Thank you.
I mean, I think that's a very important thing to do. And
so before we get out of here.
Tell me why that's a bad thing.
I'm not. I think you're sharing a very important piece of information.
Thank you.
In a not entertaining way, but it's important nonetheless. But it's important. It's important, and it's great.
How many people are entertained by $1.1 million cash?
There we go.
I'm entertained.
Yeah. Okay. I have Mr. O'Leary on the show. I got to pitch you.
Go ahead.
So here's my pitch.
I think it's going to go badly.
Yeah. Here's my pitch. Here's my pitch.
I mean, okay. I wonder why.
This is my pitch. I think you go on these shows. You are part of a system in the media, specifically financial hot take media, the CNBCs, the podcast appearances. People turn to you for financial advice. They ask you, how are the markets doing?
Yeah.
What's up? What's down? What are you into? You give your opinions because people turn to you because you're Mr. Wonderful. You obviously look like a successful entrepreneur and businessman. Advertently or inadvertently, you give people your opinion. People listen to that opinion and then make investment choices based on what they hear from you.
Do you think you create?
Let me just finish. Let me finish.
Okay.
You give those opinions. It creates potential chaos and risk at scale because it's on the internet. And then you face no downside consequences when those people get fleeced. That's not fair.
I totally disagree with you. Is this a pitch where I invest?
The second one. We haven't gotten to
We haven't got that one yet.
Yeah.
So let me tell you.
Hang on.
Why.
Wait. I got to get to the end. We got to get to the
end. Okay. Well.
Now, the second part is, I've thought to myself.
Is there a question in here somewhere?
It's not the end.
Okay.
The second part is, I've thought to myself, I go, hey, you've clearly made picks and taken some massive L's. So he either cares about it and feels very bad about it, which you may, or you know you're taking those L's, but if you keep the three-card Monty going and keep appearing on other shows and make other picks, you'll just bury the L's you had in the back. If you beat the algorithm, they can't even catch up to all the L's in the past. The problem is retail got left holding the bag a long time ago.
So L for loser?
Loser, yeah, got or it. loss. So I think what you do is good. I think you are entertaining on Shark Tank. When you leave that environment and give financial advice, people, regular people, potentially get hurt. So I mean this humbly, this is my pitch to you.
Yeah.
I wanna quote the great Laura Ingraham. I think you should focus on your strengths and shut up in Shark Tank.
No, you reversed that, right? You want me to, my strength is Shark Tank, you said, and you want me to shut up on financial literacy. Which one is
it? No, your strength is, so when, okay, so jokes are great when you have to explain them. No. So
maybe
she told LeBron to shut up and dribble because dribbling is his strength, right?
Okay.
So I said Shark Tank is your strength.
Yes.
So then using that, you just carry that.
So my whole point is my actual daytime job is managing capital. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a career I'm very proud of, and I'm proud of my reputation. I had some mistakes and losers and bad investments, just like everybody else does. But long term, the best way to do it is always tell the truth, and you never have to remember what you said.
Okay.
And so everything I've told you is the truth. It's not all good news. And by the way, in investing, you are going to have some losers. You've learned that tonight, right?
Sure, of course.
And so I wish I could only have winners. I never will. And everybody that invests has learned, whether I'm involved in their lives or not, that there are losers in investing.
Yes.
That's what happens. But as you've suggested, the market does give you, on average, about a 9% return over a long period of time.
When it's an S&P 500, so the addendum is that you're in another tax bracket. Don't listen to what you're saying because you're balling and you can take the losses. That's it. Perfect. Perfect. You can take the losses in retail cash. Mr. Kevin O'Leary, I want to say thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you very much.
For joining the show.
Yeah.
And I want to say thank you for having this conversation and for us being respectful of one another. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Kevin O'Leary.
Thank you very much.
The reason why I wanted to have this conversation is, over the past 2.5 years, I don't know if you felt this during COVID, a lot of us were at home, a lot of people were going through uncertainty, I had a lot of friends that lost their jobs. And there is this deep angst within a lot of us. I feel it with my friends, my generation. They're hitting an age where life is starting to choke them out. They're hurtling through time. People are getting married. People are trying to buy their first home. People are trying to have a little bit of a nest egg to have some sort of financial cushion to cover school, healthcare, aging parents, etc. And the way salaries are now, you have to 10x your money. And so what happened during this period of time is a lot of the financial cable hot take podcast people advertently or inadvertently were giving their takes, and people at home were listening to them and go, well, clearly he's smart, he's a venture capitalist, why don't I take an active position in my betterment and do what he does? The difference is, and what I was telling Mr. O'Leary was, you're at a different tax bracket than them. You can take the losses and retail can't. And unless you give up your whole position, like I said, you show me yours, I'll show you mine. This is my net worth, this is what I'm being paid, this is how much I'm investing, this is how much of my personal money I'm investing. We don't know. And what that does to the millions of people that listen, it creates a lot of risk and damage. And I feel for those people because they get left holding the bag and they get left behind. So I hope people remember that the next time they watch any of these shows or these podcasts, they have to keep in mind, hey, we'll never know what their position really is. So maybe I need to take what they say with a grain of salt. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if it was actually, hey, put your money in an index fund, 85% index fund, 15% bond or whatever, the way what our dads told us, there wouldn't be any of these shows. There wouldn't be any of them. Squawk Box, CNBC, they wouldn't exist. So they have to have this ecosystem that continues pumping them out. And I just can't help but think it's one of two things. There's the white knight thing, that they think they have good picks, but they're so ahead of the game that even if they lose, they'll never lose the shirt on their back. So even when they're wrong, it won't really affect them. Or number two, they don't care, which is even scarier. And that's why I said, listen, man, leave that shit alone. Just shut up in Shark Tank. I think Shark Tank is great. I think it's very entertaining, and you can keep it there, and retail investors don't get hurt.
Explore more shows from The Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the planet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? Turns out, that story was way bigger than just an optical illusion. It's a cautionary tale about the decline of clickbait sites, the rise of algorithms and internet polarization, and the end of fun on the internet. Seriously, and that's just one story. We're giving every character their 16th minute. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, D. Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.